Welcome to this clinical investigator think tank on GI cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. We gathered an elite faculty, including Drs. Tony Saab, Emily Bergslin, Charles Fuchs, Richard Goldberg, Axel Grothy, Matthew Kolke, Bert O'Neill, and Alan Vanuk, to discuss and debate some of the key clinical management issues in the field and related recent data sets, including from the June ASCO meeting. And along the way, I also put out there a number of cases and questions sent in from community-based oncologists. On this 2CD audio program, we discuss colorectal cancer, GINET, GIST, and HCC, and on a special web extra CD on researchtopractice.com, the faculty comments on pancreatic, gastric, esophageal, biliary, and anal cancer. To begin, we discuss three groundbreaking data sets from trials in systemic management of advanced colorectal cancer: the CORRECT trial evaluating the multikinase TKI regorafenib, the VELOR study evaluating the VEGF trap of aflibercept, which was approved by the FDA not long after this think tank meeting, and the so-called TML trial evaluating bevacizumab continuation on disease progression, the ASCO discussant for which was Dr. Vanuk. But to begin, Dr. Goldberg commented on regorafenib.
The CORRECT trial was a trial of regorafenib in patients with late-line colon cancers. They were refractory to all standard treatments. It was a 2-to-1 randomization against best supportive care, and this was sort of the year of the 1.4-month difference in median survival. We're going to talk about three abstracts that all showed that. And regorafenib showed a 1.4-month improvement in overall survival for patients treated with the real drug. This is a cousin of sorafenib. It's the opposite of imatinib in terms of it being a dirty kinase. It has many different targets. The toxicity of it was not severe. Mainly fatigue and hypertension were the additive side effects. The other thing that was curious about it was that if you look at the progression-free survival curves, they look just like the curves we saw with cetuximab and panitumumab. And you remember, cetuximab and panitumumab are only helpful in a subset of patients with colorectal cancer. I'll bet that we're going to be able to find a biomarker for regorafenib that may help us to determine who to use the drug in and who not.
So, Axel, you presented this at the GI symposium earlier this year. Can you give us a little feel for kind of what it's like to have a patient on a regorafenib in terms of quality of life?
You know, it is interesting, as with a lot of multikinase inhibitors, we really need to titrate the optimal dose for patients. I don't think that the one-size-fits-all idea is true for regorafenib. Same is true for sorafenib, as Rich said, you know, son of sorafenib is regorafenib. We establish individual doses for patients, and the same is true for regorafenib. A lot of the side effects we saw came up very early on in the first 2 to 4 weeks of therapy. This was a 3-week on, 1-week off regimen, mainly skin rash, which was the dominating toxicity that patients experienced. It's very difficult to really tease out fatigue, you know, in this last line setting as a side effect, but there was more fatigue in this placebo-controlled trial. So we saw the patient back after 2 weeks in this trial and made dose adjustments according to the protocol. And a lot of times we actually had to dose reduce for some time, but we could dose escalate again later in a lot of patients. So it is really a matter of handling the toxicity early on, mainly even the skin reaction, the generalized rash that can occur, and find the right individual dose for this patient.